Welcome to Ear Candy here on Local FM. I'm Mark O'Connor. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're listening in another part of the country, as the program is picked up at various campus and community radio stations across Canada, welcome as well, whenever and wherever you might be tuning into the program. Going to start off with a bit of a classic rock-influenced set. One band that you will know very well, and two bands you may have never heard of. The first is from Montreal, the second is from Vancouver. I'll have more to say about her once we play the tunes, but let's just get things going, because this is kind of awkward. The Damn Truth here on Ear Candy.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Oh,
that aching down deep inside. Nobody can stop me down. Looking like a woman and I'm looking for my loving man. Yeah, I got some time to kill. What can you feel? The itch in my head. I'm the best in the West. Don't you ever forget. I'm all woman. All woman. All woman.
Yeah, you might know that band. That's one Led Zeppelin. That's a air dirigible that is heavy. A contradiction. Run by guys named Plant and Page, currently being sued over Stairway to Heaven. I've actually tuned into the pros and cons, the ins and outs, all the details of that particular case, and for what it's worth, I say not guilty. Perhaps influenced by, but there's enough different on that particular passage of the song that, no, and that's just that one passage. The rest of the song has got nothing to do with the Taurus music from way back when. Anyway, unless you know the details of that, I'm just rambling on, so I'll stop that. Before that, we heard All Woman, No Sinner, Canadian band out of Vancouver, about to release their first full length. And we started the set off with Kind Awkward, acoustic version by The Damn Truth, based out of Montreal. Hoping to hear something new from them soon. Yeah, Old Habits Die Hard, that's the name of the No Sinner record. And here's an interesting thing. The band is fronted by Colleen Renison, R-E-N-N-I-S-O-N. I'm spelling it out for a particular reason. And she was a childhood actor. She was on one of my favorite shows, Stargate. Oh, yeah. If you're a science fiction fan, next to the original Star Trek series, that's it. And what they have in common was a sense of humor. Sense of adventure and a sense of humor, a lot of creativity. Anyway, No Sinner, if you just reverse the letters around, you get Renison. See how they came up with that name? Cool, right? And she said she grew up listening to acts like Gwen Stefani and pop stuff, but that she always loved the classic rock material, but she wanted to make something that was infused with those kinds of sounds, but current. And I think she's hit one over the ballpark. I can't stop listening to this all-woman song. And now that you've heard it, maybe you'll feel the same as I do. Who knows? And who am I? I am Mark O'Connor. I'm broadcasting out of local FM here in the port city of St. John and surrounding areas on the UNB St. John campus. And if we had kind of a classic rock beginning to the program, let's get into something really mild, really sunny, in fact. We're going to play a track from Fleetwood Mac's 1975 record, which Fleetwood Mac fans might refer to as the White Album. Not to be confused with the Beatles' The White Album, but here's an interesting little tidbit. The Beatles, when they were making Abbey Road 6 years previous to that, one of the things the band would do to not get bored is they would pretend to be somebody else. Most notably, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. But in this case, they came to the studio one day and said, let's pretend we're Fleetwood Mac. Because Fleetwood Mac was a band that had some success in Great Britain at that time. And they had a certain sound. And that sound continued on for many records later. So even when the famous Buckingham Nicks duo had joined in, you still hear that particular signature Fleetwood Mac kind of song and record in warm ways. So we'll play that. We'll play the song that the Beatles were pretending to be Fleetwood Mac. And you have your connection just like that. So let's get things going here. This one is Warm Ways, Fleetwood Mac, here on Ear Candy. Thank you.
fantastic smile I've ever seen. Sweet kisses. Three wishes.
Yes, and that was Birdie from Kate Bush, a song about her one and only offspring, Birdie Bush, B-E-R-T-I-E, in case you're thinking flapping wings and stuff. No. Before that, The Sun King, Here Comes the Sun King by the Beatles, shortened to Sun King to avoid confusion, because on the same side of Abbey Road, we had George Harrison's penned Here Comes the Sun. So having a track called Here Comes the Sun and Here Comes the Sun King. Yeah, that would be, so they just shortened it to Sun King, and that works even better, I think. And we started things off with Warm Ways, Fleetwood Mac. And I was saying that the Beatles were pretending to be Fleetwood Mac to get the creative juices flowing. And in fact, at the time, Fleetwood Mac's record Albatross had come out, a lot of reverb on the guitar. And just as a way of getting started, they did that. Sonically, actually, you can hear, to me, you can hear quite a bit of similarities in their textures and tone in the two tunes, even though, in fact, by then, it would have been Fleetwood Mac imitating the Beatles, who were started off by imitating Fleetwood Mac, I guess, because Warm Ways came out in 75 and Sun King came out in 69, and according to the Beatles, they thought it never really did sound all that much like Fleetwood Mac to begin with. But another thing, I was listening to the song, and in the later part of the song, they've got this string of foreign words, and I've never really paid attention to it before, and this time I was, and it started to make me laugh, because I realized, okay, we've got Here Comes the Sun King, and if it's about anything, if the title suggests it's about anything, it would be something like Louis XIV, the Sun King. French, right? And all the words are, well, I'll say Italian, but they're not really all Italian either. Lots of Italian and just lots of made-up words, I would say, in terms thrown together. And sure enough, they don't mean anything. They were just sounds that seemed to fit. And the band was just goofing around with them. That's all it was. It kind of reminds me, if you remember, if you have a long memory, cinematic memory, you might remember a movie called A Fish Called Wanda, a movie starring John Cleese. I think he might have even written it. And it also starred Jamie Lee Curtis and Kevin Kline. And the Kevin Kline character was a really dim-witted criminal, but he could always get his girlfriend's motor running, which was played by Jamie Lee Curtis, by starting to speak in foreign languages. Well, he wasn't that bright, so the words were spaghetti, rigatoni, just common foods and whatever. And just the sound of a foreign accent got her going. And it just reminded me of the silliness of that movie and the silliness that the Beatles must have been having making up that kind of stuff. Oh, trivia. All right, we're going to move on to more stuff. Music, if that was your guess, you're right. As always, we're going to hear a track from Sloan. We're going to hear something called Nothing Lasts Forever, and it's from their record Action Pack. Now, I've actually, in the last couple of months, I've played quite a few Sloan songs. I'm a fan, but I'm a kind of come late to the party fan. I didn't really like some of the early records, or at least the songs that were being played in much music, and from time to time you might catch one on the radio. And I just thought, not for me. If I dived a little more into their records, I probably would have come to a different conclusion that, hey, these guys are pretty good. But better late to the party than not to the party at all. Action Pack, though, as I understand it from the true fans, the real fans, this is the one record, Sloan record, that they don't like. And I don't know, I don't really have an opinion on it, but we're going to hear this track called Nothing Lasts Forever Anymore. It's from Action Packed. It's Sloan. It's here on Ear Candy. Let's go.
I can see the writing on the wall. You hardly see me lately, if at all. Well, it's funny you say that. But you get a lot of love from the guys. I wanna show you all, but must you be easy on the ears and the eyes too? Don't you know the time is right? Don't you know the time is right? It's funny you say that, 'cause I'm standing here and what that's standing for.
Bag off the vanilla. Think of me as programmable.
swept away, caught by desire, drawn to the flame. My virtues disappear, light on my feet, whispers as sweet as honey, calling to me. One day in June, one day in June, I felt the hunger, I ate the fruit.
Yeah, one day in June. Heather Nova here on Ear Candy. Before that, Programmable Soda by the one and only Tori Amos. Who else could write a song called Programmable Soda? And we started the set off with Nothing Lasts Forever by Sloan. I'm just noting from my playlist that I played Kate Bush a little earlier, a song called Birdie. And now Tori Amos, who in a way was made possible by Kate Bush's pioneering ways, though I think the similarities aren't quite as deep as maybe a lot of people would like to think. Tori was performing at a very tender age and was accepted to Juilliard at a very young age as well, but she had a very, well, shall we say, independent streak that maybe didn't fit with the school's protocol. Protocol, is that the right word? Yeah, she wanted to compose. I think that's the bottom line. She wanted to compose, and the school wanted her to play the music of dead people. And she said, I don't see dead people anywhere. That's kind of a Sixth Sense reference. Sorry about that for all you M. Night Shyamalan fans out there. I should just move on. We're going to play a couple of tracks from local groups, maritime groups. One from current outfit, Papal Visit. One from an old outfit from St. John, the Fedoras. They both tracks have a indie sonic similarity. And the Fedoras song, I'll say a little bit about that before we get going, is called Glamosaurus Rex. It's about the band T-Rex, who you may know the song, the one and only hit in North America, Bang a Gong. In fact, I happened to catch that a snippet of that song today as I was driving around doing errands on my radio. So Glamosaurus Rex, and they've got the chorus saying, T-Rex ain't no dinosaur. In case you were wondering what that was about. And T-Rex was noted as a glam band. So Glamosaurus Rex, you see? T-Rex, Glamosaurus Rex. Anyway, let's get started with a track off of the Papal Visit record, which is Further Down the Flame. The song here that I'm going to spin for you is one called Old Money, here on Ear Candy.
Let it go. poetry and music misconstrued. Dancing in a field with Mr. Tambourine, 40 feet tall when you came on the scene. Your American fame wasn't meant to be. Alas, so woe is me. T-Rex, king of dinosaur. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Lies in Black and White from the Jayhawks, straight out of Minneapolis, off of their new record that is released here in the spring of 2016. And I've been mispronouncing it all these weeks. It's Paging Mr. Proust. I've been saying Proust, P-R-O-U-S-T. I guess that learns you what I know about literature. I actually like literature. I just haven't read any Proust. I didn't know how to pronounce the name. Anyway, Paging Mr. Proust and Lies in Black and White. I like that song in particular because, well, the Jayhawks have kind of a tortured history. They're often given credit in the music press, in the hipsters press, I guess, that for creating a genre called Americana from their debut record and its follow-up. The follow-up was called Tomorrow the Green Grass, and the debut record was Hollywood Town Hall. Actually, I think they kind of had an indie record before that even. And they were well received by the music press, but they never really had any mainstream success. And the band was led by guitarist, vocalist, songwriter Gary Louris and guitarist, songwriter, vocalist Mark Olson. And they had this kind of, I don't know, rougher Everly Brothers kind of harmony thing going on. They just instinctively, one went high, one went low, whatever. And it was good stuff. But eventually, feeling like success was within their grasp and it didn't quite happen, and touring heavily and being heavily indebted because they had a major label record deal. And of course, that involves basically giving you lots of money to make your record, but you have to pay it back with sales from your record. Well, if said sales never really come through, you still have that debt hanging over your head. So for whatever reason, the stresses of being in a band in the first place and the, you know, the debt and the not getting the full recognition and success they thought maybe they deserved, and the petty resentments that probably crop up in every band, eventually led to a parting of the ways. Mark Olson left. And that could have been the end of the story. There was some bitterness about that because he says that he had an arrangement with Gary that Gary wouldn't play any of the old Jayhawk songs. And Gary led the band through three more records and took a more pop-oriented direction. Records that I personally prefer. And eventually the band kind of folded because, again, they didn't sort of meet the success that they always thought they deserved and so forth. So whether it was one leader or two co-leaders, the same issues confronted the band. And then there was a fan of the Jayhawks who was a filmmaker, and he wanted to use some music in a film, and he connived or manipulated the situation to bring Mark and Gary back together. And they made a kind of an acoustic duo record, which was really good. Really good music. You should, if you're not familiar with that record, you should check it out. It probably doesn't have too many songs I can really feature on this show, because I like to try and keep it, you know, more pop-oriented, up-tempo, rock-oriented. And this was a little more folk-influenced, but great stuff. Really good. And from there, it was only one logical step more to reform the Jayhawks. Mark Olson claims he was talked into it by Gary, who he trusted implicitly, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, they made another Jayhawks record, the one before this, the newest one called Mockingbird Time, and it wasn't that good a record. They said they were trying to recapture the sound from Tomorrow the Green Grass, which I personally also didn't think was that great a record, aside from the song Blue, which was terrific. So the band stresses occurred, and who knows what the real story is, and Mark Olson left again. And in this song that you just heard, Lies in Black and White, talks from the singer's point of view of opening up the paper casually and then seeing a story, and Lies in Black and White, and he's got this line in it. Normally I wouldn't really focus on the lyrics too much. He's got this line in it, "You duplicitous quitter." Now, Gary Louris can say whatever he likes, but I'm never going to believe anything other than he wrote it with his former partner in mind. So who knows what the real story is, but he used it to good advantage to create a nice, cool song, in my opinion. And it also occurs to me that he could be writing about himself, disguised. That maybe... all the problems weren't his partner's doing. It's like in any relationship, there's probably plenty of blame to go around. All right, almost time to move on to another show, so we're just going to very quickly play you a little bit of something just to take you home. I appreciate your company. My name is Mark O'Connor. Tune in again next week. Here we've got some Sinead O'Connor, a song called Fourth and Vine.
When he takes me for a buggy ride, when he takes me for a buggy ride.